What's up, everybody? This is Will Pruitt here with your TNA Impact Wrestling All Access Audio Review. Here we go. It is the last non-live TNA broadcast till sometime in the summer when they give up on live, which will be a sad day, actually. It is the last one that will not be live, so let's make this a good one. Next week, we got hyped for the live episode. And this was an episode of Open Fight Night built around building that live episode. I said this last week, I'll say it again. Why not make Open Fight Night your first live episode? You know, they just said it'll happen every month. They can play around with the timeline a bit so it's not every 4 weeks. But yeah, we left it to 5 weeks this time. Maybe next time it'll be 3 weeks. Whatevs, we're TNA. But they could have easily made Open Fight Night their first non-live episode and made it this major happening. Or their first live episode and made it a major happening. But they didn't, and I think there's a few reasons why. And we'll get into those as we go along. But first, let's talk real quick, because I just launched into that ish, man. Let's talk about the .NET member site. I'll make this one short this week. .NET member audio. You like audio. You're listening to this podcast, man. And I know sometimes you're driving around going, I wish I had more. Well, we've got .NET Weekly. First run news in that bad boy. Breaking down the news of the week. It's fantastic. We've got audio reviews of Raw, SmackDown, and Impact. Boom. Get them on that iPod. We've got audio reviews of pay-per-views. You want to listen to those. We've got interviews with guys like Shane Helms, former WWE creative team members, Chris DeJoseph and Chris Roach. I almost forgot their names there. You know, our Dragon Gate USA booker Gabe Sapolsky, Dragon Gate USA talent Larry Dallas. We've got interviews with Sean Daivari. We've got interviews with Brock Lesnar, Chris Jericho. Just get that ish on your iPod, man! Or iPhone or other device. Maybe your Android device. But yeah, check it out, the .NET member site. If you want to sign up, it goes as low as $5.50 a month if you take that annual option. Just go head on over to ProWrestling.net, click on the membership link on the right-hand side of the page, boom. Within minutes, ad-free access to the site, access to the .NET members forum, first-run news in that audio. You're going to get access to members' first-look news as well. Again, that's news that only the members get to see. You want to be in the know, don't you? You don't want to be, like, lame or something, right? Just kidding, guys. So yeah, ProWrestling.net, and you know what? Even if you're not a member and you just use the ad-based site, thank you. Thank you for your support of the site, and, you know, tell your friends about us. And keep an eye on live coverage is coming up, because Jason Powell got all crazy-like and decided to start running some contests Twitter via the Twitter for free six-month memberships, and you should lock into one of those bad boys if you get a shot. So, if you want to follow along with me, head on over to ProWrestling.net. Bring up Jake Barnett's live coverage of the show, because I'm going to go through this step by step. We got a video package on last week's Impact talking about AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels and Kaz, and the Abyss Bully Ray story. Then we got to Hulk Hogan. And this was one of the more interesting segments on the show. It was Hulk Hogan in his office with the four guys that he has to choose from for Open Fight Night. And this segment was him asking them, why should I pick you? And it was interesting. The dynamic here was much better than the dynamic was when he was choosing the tag teams. It was fairly tense. Kurt Angle played his part really well. Bully Ray played his part really well. Jeff Hardy was just kind of the silent type in there. And you know, if you're going to use Jeff Hardy, I think that's the way you use him. And AJ Styles did really well here as well, and AJ isn't always the strongest actor. Hogan did okay, you know, but it wasn't great. Hogan, at one point, picked up the format sheet for the show, brother, and said, brother, there are going to be changes made to this, brother. I'm sorry, that's just reminiscent of, you remember that January 4th, 2010 episode where Eric Bischoff was like, I'm ripping up the format! No one buys into it. Don't acknowledge that you have a script, especially not for Open Fight Night. Like, come on. Yeah. So, Hogan talked about Bobby Roode like he was a problem, and he never really stated why he was a problem. It was just kind of this, well, this Bobby Roode situation, brother, we've got to get it handled. never like, oh, well, Bobby Roode, he cheats to win his matches. He's not a great champion. So it would be a shame on this company for him to be the longest reigning champion. But then again, if the lead authority figure in the company felt that way, couldn't he just strip him of the title? I know. Details. I care about them. So, basically, this left with Hogan eliminating Bully Ray. Which, you know, kind of made sense. If you're going to have the babyface authority figure picking guys, he's going to eliminate the heel first. That's, you know, I don't really like you. Bye. That's basically what this was. Bully Ray said, you know, he's going to know that he made a mistake or whatever. And then we got the open fight night opening video for Impact with absolutely no clips of TNA in the Impact Zone. Every clip was like, this is us when we go to arenas, but we're not doing that tonight, is what it said instantly when they finally showed the Impact Zone for open fight night. Poor TNA. Can't stop, won't stop. So then we got our first open fight night challenge. Gail Kim and Madison Rain came out, and Gail Kim cut a really poor promo on ODB and Eric Young and called them out. Gail Kim just, there's a disconnect where she's absolutely unbelievable on the mic. Like, it's just like, I am Gail Kim, and I am your Knockouts champion. And just that rhythm and kind of, like, you can tell she's memorized this promo. She's tried to get it into the promo rhythm, but there's something that isn't quite clicking there. So Gail called out ODB and Eric Young. And they did some joke wrestling with Young and Gail, which I think was there to show, you know, it's not man-on-woman violence, but Eric Young is wrestling a woman and getting outsmarted by her. And then, it was pretty bad. We went to commercial, came back. They were still in this match. This was a 6-minute match, or 6.5-minute match. On TNA, you know, 4 minutes is kind of the max most of the time. To see a 6.5-minute match, I'm like, cool. But then it's between, you know, two Knockouts versus two comedy characters. That's not really necessary. That's not where I want my match length to go, you know? And we had another longer match on this show that I'll get to at the end, actually. But I don't want my match length to go there. I found this match pretty stupid, to be honest with you. The ending came when Madison pulled ODB's legs out from under her on the outside. Gail Kim was able to pin her that way. And Eric Young was too distracted to notice. So that was it. You know, that was this match. It was bad. Don't watch it. If you listen to this and then go back and watch on DVR, like, if you listen to this while you're out driving and you know, hey, later this week I'm going to get to TNA, just fast forward through this one, guys. From the moment Gail Kim comes out to, you know, the moment we see Bobby Roode walk into the building, which is what happened, fast forward through it. Hogan was backstage on a phone, and he said he's already made his first cut of the night, brother, and it was tough. And then he said, you know, are you on your way or something like that? And then he's like, man, this shiz. And seeing Hulk Hogan say shiz was worth watching this entire show. Let me tell you, Hulk Hogan used the word shiz. Go out of your way to watch this one. In fact, someone remix it, put it on YouTube, and let me auto-tune jam to Hulk Hogan saying shiz and other various idiotic things. So yeah, it's just that classic tease, you know, that WCW in 1999 and 2000, that Attitude Era tease of, man, we've got a big, you know, I'm on the phone with this guy and he's going to be here before the end of the show. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm tired of that tease in general, but that is what it is. So Rob Van Dam came out and said, hey, he's been really focused on the title since he came back and, you know, bringing back some prestige or honor to it or something. Or, you know, being a hero we all deserve or something like that. Rob Van Dam is Batman, basically, is where I'm going with this. Rob Van Dam is Batman. Really lazy, high, kind of chubby Batman. And then he called out Gunner. Gunner made his entrance. Again, they did the whole open fight night gimmick of everyone in the back in their tights with their belts on, standing around watching. and, you know, the music hitting when the guy was called out. And it's a nice touch, you know, seeing, hey, everyone's ready to go. Now someone actually has to. So, Rob Van Dam versus Gunner. This one ended in a 5-star frog splash pretty much halfway across the ring, which, you know, makes it less, as far as arm motion, frog splashy, and more just like, I'm going to move my arms really quick. Ah! But that is what it is. This one ended in 2 minutes and 54 seconds via frog splash. Basically, it was Gunner getting squashed. And they showed footage while Gunner was on his way out of TNA Genesis, which I forgot happened. And said, I was trying to think, was Gunner feuding with Rob Van Dam? What? But apparently, this is what they tell me. Gunner DDT'd Rob Van Dam on the floor. And I thought, oh, I remember when they were giving that thunder push to Gunner. Gunner. But then I thought to myself, why would they give up on it so easily? I didn't like it. I don't like Gunner. At the time I thought he was being over-pushed. I don't think he's that great in the ring. But when you see where he was then and where he is now, who exactly took his place at the top of the card? Who exactly, you know, stepped into that role as an upper mid-carder? No, Gunner was just completely downplayed. Gunner is a guy. And I've said this, you know, about the TV title a lot, and I'll say it again when we get to the TV title match here. Devon shouldn't have it. Gunner is a guy that I think could really gain something by having a long TV title reign. He's wrestling in the ring every week. You get to know him. You get to know his spots. You get to know his favorite ways of cheating. And you get to hate him. But right now, Gunner is just kind of meh. You know, I feel like the TV title can really enhance someone's character as they're developing it. And what we're getting with D-Bone is just testify! Which is great. I mean, I love it when D-Bone says testify. It reminds me of Reverend D-Bone and Deacon Batista. An underrated act, I think. Where did all of that money go, by the way? I think it was on someone's DVD where the money went. I want to know. Someone email me. It's willtime@gmail.com. Find D-Bone's money. Anyways, that match happened. So then we got Devon in the ring. And he talked about how, you know, Hogan made an edict. He is a fighting champion. And this segment was also used to kind of cover for the fact that he didn't defend the title last week because he had a world title shot. I didn't think it was that bad. The announcers could have done that for him, though. And they really should have last week. You know, we're not getting a regularly scheduled TV title match because D-Von has defended it this many times. So Hogan thought he should be in this world title contention battle royal. And, but D-Von said, you know, last week in that battle royal, he was outsmarted. He wants to see if, you know, this kid's still got a horseshoe, if he's still got the brains. If Lady Luck was still on his shoulder. And he demanded a match with Garrett Bischoff. They locked up. They had a really basic match, the kind I would expect to see at D-Von's wrestling school between D-Von and a younger guy where he's kind of leading him through some basic stuff. Headlocks or, you know, lock upside headlock, hammerlock, headlock takedown, spinning elbow. That's impressive. Then lock up side headlock, body slam. This is straight out of, you know, the first couple days of wrestling school. So they had that, and then the heels of Robbie E and Robbie T ran down to the ring and interfered in the match, thus causing a no contest. D-Von and Garrett fought off Robbie E and Robbie T, and that was actually what Robbie E and Robbie T did was more botched than what D-Von and Garrett did. And they stood in the ring tall and allied and stuff and, you know, kind of did some arm things to pump up the crowd. Yeah, arm things. You guys know I don't really enjoy the Garrett Bischoff push. I don't need to get into it. I'm having a pretty chill Friday morning right now, sipping my coffee, discussing some impact. I don't need to get into Garrett Bischoff. So, let's move on from Garrett Bischoff. Oh, by the way, Jake Barnett in his live coverage, his, you know, Barnett's brief, his little, you know, why can't it be Jake's Jam? I wish that it just said Jake's Jam. Maybe I'll get him to change it to that. Barnett's brief, the first word of it was just, GAH! It's in all caps, so you kind of have to yell it, right? It was GAH. So, Hogan is backstage, says he knows he has to make another cut. Told AJ he knows Rude better than anybody. Angle told Angle he's beaten everybody. And said, Hardy, you've been professional since you got off the drugs. Gee, I wonder. Which is just silly. I mean, I feel like, you know, this was another one of... A lot of these segments, they had their good parts, but they also had their bad parts. And part of it really... part of these segments really comes off as just kind of patronizing and stupid. And it's, you know, Hogan sitting there running down the pros and, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of each one of them. It's more of that, let's make Impact feel like reality TV thing, which is chill. You know, I understand why they're doing it. It's a powerful genre, and they're trying something different in the world of wrestling. And in 10 years, I might be sitting here saying, gosh, I'm so tired of that thing that made TNA awesome. But, you know, for now, I'm not super into it. Hardy, basically the segment ended with Hardy getting eliminated because he said Hardy's victories lately have been too on the fence. That's one thing. Going into open fight night, if you're going to do this selection thing and if you're going to have those four guys that you pick from, you know what? I think TNA needs to look at themselves really close and say, we need to build these four guys into situations where they are contenders and they have reasons for being eliminated. And with Hardy, they had that. I want to applaud them for it because with Hardy, his elimination was basically, you know what, these matches with Mr. Anderson you've been having lately, you know, you're great, but these matches with Anderson, you might have lost a step. You might not be firing on all cylinders right now. There may be some things going on in your head that are preventing you from being able to do so. And, you know, we have to handle this. Also, I find it kind of odd that Hogan, again, is saying, we need to stop Rude, brother. Dude, strip him of the title if you need to. It's that conceit of the heel and babyface authority figure. It's the conceit of the authority figure that they can do everything to accomplish their goal, but actually accomplish their goal. And it's the conceit that we've put up with since Mr. McMahon. Since Eric Bischoff was in the NWO, why didn't he just change the name of the company, fire everyone in WCW, and do a little happy dance? Why doesn't Vince McMahon, or, you know, why didn't Vince McMahon just fire Steve Austin and be done with it? And, yeah, they went down that road, and Austin came back and made him pee himself in a great Monday Night Raw moment that I probably would have hated if I were watching it now, but damn it, I was 10, and it was awesome. So, yeah, it's that conceit of the authority figure taking sides that they can accomplish, they can do everything to accomplish their goal, but actually accomplish it. And that's what Hogan is showing here, and it just doesn't make sense. Rather than go, hey guys, I want to pick the person that's going to go out there and give her the best challenge. He's really close to being the longest reigning TNA champion in history, and we've got to stop him. Or, you know, and I would like to see this done. Then we saw the video package from Sacrifice about Abyss's disappearance in Joe Parks. And then we had Bully Ray asking the crowd if they knew who he was. And Bully Ray came out, cut a good heel promo like Bully Ray does. And for his open fight night challenge, he called out Joseph Park. And Park was shown. Ray said he's sick of him. He called him out. Park kind of started walking through the audience and towards the ring. And the crowd was yesing him as he got close. He stayed on the floor. Or he asked for the microphone and stayed on the floor. Asked Bully for some space. He got into the ring. And the crowd cheered for him. He said all he wanted was answers about his brother. And everything he could gather pointed to Ray. He said he can look in someone's eyes and determine their guilt. And the crowd chanted guilty. And Park said he didn't tell them to say that. Which, it was funny. It was a nice little improv moment. As they're doing it, he's like, I didn't tell them to say that. That's not what I said. Park said he was entitled to a trial and he couldn't think of a worthier jury. Well, except for they were all just chanting guilty. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, they're predisposed to think he's guilty now, right? He surveyed the crowd, asked the crowd, and asked them who thought Bully Ray was guilty. Ray then punched Parks in the gut, grabbed the chain from his wallet, hit Park over the back with it, bent down and told him that he was not guilty. Park continued to sell the chain shot, bully Ray left. Interesting. You know, Joseph Park, you know, gets beat up by Bully Ray, you know, on the open fight night show. Again, we're getting closer and closer to the Park Abyss reveal, Two-Face, whatever it's going to be, and I plan to enjoy it when it happens. I know a lot of people aren't super into the Abyss character, but I think this could be the freshening up it needs, especially if it is a Two-Face-esque situation, because then we don't have to listen to Abyss going, "Ass." We can listen to Abyss going, "I'm a lawyer," which is actually better to me. I know, I'm weird. So, Joey Ryan was shown backstage. Joey Ryan, he's a regular on the Southern California independent scene, former PWG World Champion. He wrestles in PWG currently and is currently embroiled in a long, long, long feud. He's currently embroiled in a long feud with, got a text message, with Candice LeRae. And that is kind of obnoxious to me. If you've listened to me talk about PWG or you've seen any of my event reports from PWG events, I'm very tired of the whole man-on-woman violence and match thing. It's boring. And it gives the crowd a reason to act like jackasses. So I'm pretty bored of it. But Joey Ryan was shown backstage, and he's a talented dude. And they talked about him doing the gut check. They showed footage, I think, from NWA Championship Wrestling out of Hollywood. And talked about, you know, basically he was just saying he's a lifelong wrestling fan. He's always been a Hulkamaniac, and, you know, this is his dream. So, you know, that, I guess the thing about the gut check, and it's, like, if you ever watched American Idol for 3 seasons in a row, I don't think I have. But if you have, you know how American Idol, you watch it, and everyone's story is basically the same. I mean, someone might have a dead dad to spice it up, or someone might have, you know, something else that makes it sad. But for the most part, it's, since I was a kid, I wanted to do this. This is my dream, and I want to live it. Great story. Great story. American dream. You know, it's one of those quintessential stories that we love watching, and it's one of the reasons that reality TV has become so popular. But when you're telling that same story month after month, it gets boring. You know, like I said, American Idol 3 seasons in a row. Why? Why would I watch it? And don't say because the singing is good, because it isn't. So, Jeremy Borash was in the ring with Al Snow and Joey Ryan. They talked more about the gut check concept and asked Joey Ryan if he was ready to meet his opponent. And, Ryan was playing a heel, by the way. I should mention that. He was doing the whole this is my dream thing, but he was definitely playing up being a heel, and he got himself over as a heel in those few minutes really well, which I appreciated that he was able to do even with that backstory. And his opponent was introduced as Austin Aries, and I thought to myself, man, if I wasn't so lazy, I would look and see if this match ever happened before, and it had to on the independent scene. I would guess and say it most likely happened in PWG at some point. Austin Aries came out, and the crowd popped for Aries. Aries is over, which is just fantastic. Austin Aries versus Joey Ryan. Ryan hit a hip toss, did a little showing off in the corner. Aries then hit a drop toe hold and did a few float overs and did some bragging himself. Basically, this match, it was a little sloppier than I would have liked to see, and sloppier than Austin Aries usually is. Ryan didn't really impress me that much in the ring. But I do think Ryan was better in the ring than what Silva was last week, month, that's the choice I'll make. He was better than Alex Silva was last month. And Alex Silva, by the way, he's been talked about, but he has never actually debuted on TNA. You know, he had his gut check match, but he has not had a match since then. Oh, TNA. The more things change, the more they stay the same. And change is coming, brother. So, yeah, this match, it ended with Aries hitting a running dropkick and a brainbuster for the win at 3:53. Again, not the greatest of matches. Ryan was a little odd here. Aries carried him to a passable match, but Joey Ryan just didn't seem ready to work. I wasn't impressed. Who knows if they'll give him the contract or not. Because he's playing heel, I tend to assume that they won't. I also wonder who the judge is going to be on next week's show. Who do they drag out to judge him with you know, with, who was it? Oh, Al Snow and Bruce Pritchard. Maybe they'd get Eric Bischoff to do it. That could be fun. Or Dave Lagana. Just let him do it. Yes, everyone with a Twitter! So, that's it. They showed a video of last year's Bound for Glory show as part of the 10 best moments in TNA, and I thought, really? That train wreck with Sting and Hulk Hogan where the crowd got super into being Hulkamaniacs again, but the actual match was bad, and the Garrett Bischoff angle's been bad since then, and Hulk Hogan, for no reason, decided to be a good guy. All of that, that's what you go with. Chill. You know, I'm not the one picking these moments here. And then Bobby Roode made his way to the ring. This show, by the way, to this point, kind of flew by to me. I mean, we had four matches before this, but, you know, not a whole lot. And we already had Bobby Roode coming to the ring for what I assumed would be the main event. And it was. Hogan made his final choice after Styles and Angle made their entrances. And Hogan said he was picking AJ because he knows Roode better than anyone else in the company. So he wants Roode. He thinks that he has the best shot of beating him. So we picked AJ Styles. And we got AJ Styles versus Bobby Roode. That's perfectly logical, actually. That's one of the more logical things Hulk Hogan's ever said. Hogan said some other weird things in that promo, though, so if you're watching on delay, watch and laugh, kids. Watch and laugh. So we had AJ Styles versus Bobby Roode. And this match, the story of it that the commentators were telling rather well, kudos to Mike Tenay and Taz, I trash you guys a lot, and I still think you're the worst commentary team in wrestling. I don't know, you're kind of tied with Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness. Gosh, Kevin Kelly's bad. I mean, he's just such... I don't want to listen to someone marking out over the product like I would if I were watching a great match, just going like, oh my gosh, this is awesome! I want to listen to someone going... You know, I want to listen to someone calling the action and hearing their voice that they're getting excited by it. And they just forget the action and go, this match is phenomenal! 5 stars! Sorry, that's my ROH bashing tangent of the week, I guess. So, this match was good. I thought one thing that hurt it is there were two commercial breaks during the match, and it was a 22-minute match. So I understand why there had to be two commercial breaks in there, but they really broke the flow of the match because you start to get that match going. You know, I'm getting pumped as I'm sitting here watching it. You know, I'm starting to get into the story, and then I have 4 minutes of bad Spike TV, like, infomercials for, like, Mancers and bad male enhancement products and, you know, UTI, which stands for urinary tract infection, by the way, not whatever it is, Automotive Institute of America. That doesn't even make sense, so none of those letters are what they stand for. But, So, you know, just bad commercials all around. And they break the flow, and it's just not bad commercials. Any commercials, they break the flow of the match a lot. This is a 22-minute match. You're really hurting the flow when you put two commercial breaks in there. And there's nothing that AJ Styles and Bobby Roode can do about that. There's nothing the TNA can do about that, I'm guessing. But, you know, I review things. So, they had a pretty good match together. It was clean. The match was pretty much completely clean. I don't even think there were... I'm trying to look at it. I don't remember seeing any interference. Yeah, there was a moment that was kind of awkward before they went to the first commercial, or second commercial of the match, where they did the TNA split screen, where the match itself was in a really small screen in the upper left, and then Hulk Hogan was in a big screen on the right. And they had someone coming up to Hulk going, hey, your guest is here. And Hulk got all excited and smiley. So that was your hook to stay tuned through the match and the commercial break. But the finish of this one came. AJ seemed to be looking over his back for the entire match, hoping that Daniels and Kazarian weren't going to run down. And so the finish came when Styles had a Roode set up for the springboard 450. He kept checking over his shoulder, went for the springboard 450. Roode got his knees up at the last minute, and followed that with his fisherman suplex for the win. Bobby Roode won a match clean with his finisher. Yay! Bobby Roode had something to celebrate, being the longest running TNA champion in history. Great, great match. Great little TV match. I would love to see it without the commercials in there, breaking up the flow. I like what Styles and Roode could do together, and I think Styles versus Roode, you use it on pay-per-view twice. You know, you've used this match so much that it works as a big TV main event. And again, the story of Styles being the longest reigning guy, trying to keep Roode from becoming the longest reigning guy, it's a good story to tell. All around, I like this match. I thought it really pushed Impact into the thumbs up range for me. Then we had Roode exclaiming, "I did it!" And talking about being the longest reigning wrestler in Impact Wrestling history. Again, we still had like 12 minutes of the show left after this. And Roode, they went to commercial, he said he was going to celebrate his domination, grab some champagne. Was the confetti coming down yet? Yeah, we had the confetti. TNA, when they buy confetti, less is more, guys. They drop so much that everything in the Impact Zone is covered. Dude, you just need a little bit of confetti. You need enough to flutter in the wind. I mean, they're dropping like a metric ton of confetti. You couldn't even see Bobby Roode through all of it. It's like their confetti supplier has told them how much you need to canvas an area, and they just bought into it. You don't listen to the confetti contractors. You need to go out and do the bidding, do the stuff yourself. The contractors are always going to oversell you, because that contractor is getting 10% of every bit of confetti that you buy. He's getting 10% of that cash, y'all. Sorry, confetti contractors are a really sore spot for me, apparently. So, Hogan came out after the break, this is when he hit the confetti, after the break, and he was toasting himself with champagne. Finally, Hogan came out and said he's glad he's not a betting man, saying he completely stacked the deck against Roode. Hold up, wait a minute. I know TNA doesn't have, like, a board of directors the way the WWE does, where they, you know, use them as a deus ex machina or, you know, any of that, but Hulk Hogan saying, "I stacked the deck against the champion," that's not really okay, is it? Like, Hulk Hogan doing the deck stacking? I don't tend to think that's alright. But he said he didn't realize how good Roode was, so that did put Roode over just a bit. Said he had a lot of respect for him, and Roode has done things he didn't expect him to do. Hogan then said, because of his hard, what he did was because of hard work. And Roode needs to realize the hard work has just begun. And he said there's someone else who wants to celebrate. And the arena went black. The lights came back up. Sting's music hit, and Sting was standing behind Bobby Roode. He hammered Roode into the corner, whipped him across the ring, hit the Stinger Splash, threw Roode over the top rope, and celebrated in the ring. And then Hulk Hogan announced that next week, 8 o'clock, on the first live Impact of the summer, it's going to be Bobby Roode versus Sting right at 8 o'clock. That's a good hook. I'm not a fan of a lot of this, but I do have to say, that's a damn good hook to get people to tune in at 8, to remember it's at 8. You use your social media all week to enforce it's at 8. You can get some viewers there. Now, the bad of this, I said, when did I say this? It was right after lockdown, when James Storm didn't get the win. It was right after lockdown when James Storm did not get the win, saying, you know, I really believe that they're going to go with Sting versus Bobby Roode at Slammiversary, and Sting is going to get the big comeback, and Sting is going to go on to be champion after that. I said it's my bad theory, and I hope it didn't happen, but I do think it will. And I'm still going to stand behind that theory now as we're going into Slammiversary. We just had Sting return. He's in a lumberjack match against Bobby Roode. You know, it can end in a schmoz that Sting looked like he had the best of, and then suddenly, you know, maybe you have an 8-man tag with him later in the night, Sting pins Roode, boom. You know, then he's got a title shot. I think Dixie Carter likes the idea of having Sting, the icon, standing tall at the biggest show in the company's history, at the 10th anniversary show. I think they're really into that idea, and I don't think that they will... You know, ROH did the bad thing for their 10th anniversary show, and headlined with a subpar tag match. The Young Wolves Rising tag match with a, you know, Adam Cole, whatever, you can look up the match. ROH did the wrong thing and didn't have their world title on the line. I actually think that would have been the perfect place for Richards versus Steen. I talked a lot going into that about how ROH needed an era-defining match. A match that said, this is where we live. In a way, you know, this is what the last 10 years have been and the next 10 years will be. And TNA could use something like that too. And I worry that instead of going, you know, Rude versus Storm would set a really nice tone for that. You have Storm get the big win in Texas. You have Storm, and I think he's damaged after not getting the win in Nashville. I'll stand by that. But you have James Storm win it there and say, he's the guy, man. The last 10 years, they've been building to this. The next 10 years are about this, in a way. You know, it's not like you have to have him on top for 10 years, but you get what I'm saying. The thing is that I really believe that they'll have Sting win the title at Slammiversary and say, Sting, the icon, one last reign! And all will be for naught. I don't mean to be so pessimistic about the TNA product, but time and time again, their booking team has shown that they're going to go for Sting instead of James Storm. That's just the way they work. So, let's do an overall wrap-up real quick. I liked this show. I thought that the open fight night concept, it developed nicely here. I don't think it was the best, but it had some good development. It got there the way that it needed to. I enjoyed, you know, the Gail Kim match and promo. I didn't really like. I enjoyed a lot of the backstage stuff with Hogan and the title contenders. I really enjoyed. I didn't think Austin Aries and Joey Ryan did as well as they could. The main event really pushes it over because it was a good match. Yes, it was broken up, but Styles and Rude pulled it out, and they had a really nice match here. Good episode. Good hype. Like I said, the Sting thing, if next week, they have 3 weeks now to build to Slammiversary, and I think next week and the week after, you're going to see rapid-fire matchmaking. If next week they have James Storm return and have a showdown with Bobby Roode, and Hulk says, you know, this is, he had you beat before, he's going to get another shot, well, I'm chill with that. I don't think they've developed Storm not wanting, you know, debating whether he wants to do this or not enough for that, and I just don't know that they have the patience to do that until Bound for Glory. It is what it is. You know, it's all TNA. It's going to happen. I'm going to talk about it. That's the way that Thursdays and Fridays work around here, guys. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for your support of the .net All Access Podcast. For the site, remember ProWrestling.net, members link on the right-hand side of the page. Go ahead and get your sign up on. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great day.